Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Friday, April 5th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. Do you know what we are going to be doing in exactly 1 week?
Holding hands, drinking a beer, hugging?
Yay!
Yes, I got it.
Yes, a few more details to shake out. It's our first ever live edition of Baseball Today. If you are in the greater Los Angeles area, come visit us. It's going to be at Boomtown Brewery. That's the same exact venue we had during our All-Star Game festivities when it was out in the great city of Los Angeles a few years ago. Still, general admission tickets left, so go purchase them, shop.johnboymedia.com. We'll see you for that. We'll see you for a live show. We'll see you for a live Q&A. Yes, Trevor Plouffe, question?
You've always done the ads. Let me talk to the people a little bit. Yes, VIP is sold out. I don't even know if there's a cap on general admission. This is a big space. We've already sold a bunch of tickets. Like, come hang out with fellow baseball fans, people of the same ilk. We'll talk. We'll be baseball rats together while we drink a brew, and then we can head to the Dodger game right after. Like, think about how cool that is. We're going to do a show live. We're going to hang out, mingle in this beautiful space, and then there's a shuttle that can take you right to the stadium afterwards. People, come join us on Friday. Come join us April 12th, Boomtown Brewery. Do it. It's going to be an amazing time, and Olivia might be there.
Oh, boy.
That's reason enough to come, to see the Egyptian flower, the Egyptian goddess in person.
I wasn't so sure I was going to be there, but now I am. Sign me up. I'll buy 2 general admission tickets just to see her. And 1 more if I don't have to see you. So there you go.
Oh, man.
We had some breaking news right as we were finishing Thursday's show. And it's not good, certainly for the city of Oakland. That's because the A's will be spending the next 3 years at least playing their home games in Sacramento, California. That, of course, is the AAA home of the San Francisco Giants, so they're going to figure out a little timeshare opportunity there. So they signed a lease to be there for the next 3 years. It could be 4 if that stadium in Vegas is not done. Now, John Fisher, the A's owner, spoke for less than 2 minutes and did not take questions, which is probably best, because when he did open his mouth, he stuck his foot right in it.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball for the next 3 years.
Well, let's start with, I can tell you who did not get an A in his public speaking class. Woo! That's right. Whether it's our players or Aaron Judge launching a homer.
It's not even funny, Chris. It's not funny. It's not funny.
Oh, God. It's so sad it's funny.
Look, I played for this franchise, okay? Albeit for 3 months. I was there. I went to Fan Fest. I saw the fervor surrounding the Oakland A's, the people that root for this team. I bought into Dave Cavall selling me the rooted in Oakland thing. I actually like patted the guy in the back and I was like, dude, you're awesome. Like, this is cool. We're building a new stadium in Oakland. Like, he was getting everyone pumped up. These guys got me, Chris. So it actually pisses me off a lot, because I took that to heart. I thought we were going to get a brand new, beautiful ballpark in Oakland on the water, all these things. I'm not a politician. I don't know about being slimy and backdoory. I don't do that. I'm up front. This is what I do. I talk to the people honestly, okay? These guys haven't been honest this whole time. And a guy like John Fisher. Okay. I don't want to be like too mean. I don't like that. But this guy is not like part of the real world. He's not. He's never been part of the real world because of the situation he was born into. And you know what? You can't fault him for being born into that situation, no. Chris. He just was. Okay? But, you know, I know a lot of rich people and some that were born into their situations, and they don't act like this. Like they try their best to be rooted in the real world. This guy's not at all. There's nothing real about this guy and what he says. You know why he says Aaron Judge and whoever on opposing teams are going to hit home runs? Because they don't know who's going to be on the team in Oakland. They don't care about the players on the team in Oakland. Let's just go back and think about the players that have played in Oakland that are superstars around the league. I mean, we could name, what, 5-6 of them over the last 5 years? Most of them playing for the Braves? Like another one just settling in across the bay in San Francisco. Like these guys, I just, it makes me upset listening to him talk about something like that. The intimate ballpark and thank you for welcoming us in Sacramento. And it's going to be a great thing for baseball. The most intimate ballpark in Major League Baseball. Shut up, man. Nobody wants to hear that. Okay. And while we're at it, and this is the last thing I'll say, because I feel like I am starting to get mean. Didn't your family run a clothing company? Your suit looks brutal. Like, get the thing tailored. Get something different. You looked bad. And that's it.
Okay. I am wearing a hat in support of Oakland, not in support of the A's. I will always support the players and the manager and all the hardworking people, some of whom who will not be making the journey from Oakland to Sacramento because they're going to end up losing their jobs. There's a harsh reality that is happening. I think the fans, even though there was a last second effort to kind of keep the team in Oakland for an extended period and an open negotiating window and all that sort of stuff, I think that some fans have come to the realization that it wasn't going to happen.
It was all a farce, Chris. This move was always going to happen, or that's what the plan was the entire time.
Yeah, and that is extremely tough to stomach. I support you. I always have. I'm somebody who lost my favorite sports team, the Cleveland Browns, for 3 years when it was ripped away. And it's horrible. It is just atrocious. You have an empty feeling. Like, you wake up some days and you can't even believe that it happened. So for people to be sitting there, and I don't blame people in Sacramento. I really don't. I just can't. I'm not going to blame those people because that's not on them. And will it be interesting to watch people sit on a lawn in the back of an outfield fence and run after home run balls like we see in spring training? Sure, it'll be interesting. But I will watch every game that is played by the A's because that's what they're going to be called. They're not going to be called anything else. They're just going to be called the A's. No city affiliation whatsoever. Every one of those games I watch, I will be thinking about those broken hearts in Oakland. I wish there was something else that we could say. There's nothing. There's nothing. It sucks. It's been handled terribly by the league, certainly by ownership. And it is a it really shows you what a lack of leadership we have in this country at so many levels, whether it's politics, whether it's our favorite sports teams, whether it's our favorite sports leagues. It is people that are afraid to speak the truth and to have good, honest discussions. Instead, they would rather lie to your face and turn and run the other direction. And that's really, really hard. And I wish I could say anything other than I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Oakland. I really am.
I don't know what Oakland fans do now. You can't follow the team. Although if you want to, I mean, anything you do, it's up to you, obviously. Like I have a feeling that a lot of them aren't going to follow the team. It's been too tumultuous of a relationship over the last couple of years, I feel like. So you mentioned it, like for Cleveland, LA didn't have a football team for 20 something years. You can pick whatever team you want to root for and think about that now. Like, or do they just go over the bay and start being Giants fans? That seems strange to me. What happens? No. I'm genuinely curious, Chris. Like what happens?
Well, for 3 years, I worked every Sunday. I was working at CNN in Atlanta. So during the football season, I had the pain of everybody cheering around me for their favorite team and all that sort of stuff. And I just felt empty. It was a horrible feeling. And people said, well, are you going to root for the team in Baltimore? I was like, never. They said, well, do you want to go pick another team? And I said, pick another team? I was like, this is the fabric of who I am. This is what my family did every Sunday for the first 25 years of my life. So, Oakland fans, do it. Do you. I mean, whatever it takes to try and heal throughout this process. And if you leave the sport because of what's happening, I wouldn't blame you one second. I just wouldn't. And whatever you decide to do, if you want to follow the team to Sacramento and then Las Vegas, if you feel like that's in your heart and you can do that, good for you. If you want to go try and find another team, cool. I'm sure that fan base would welcome you with open arms. And if you just want to say, fuck this sport because it's spat in my face, I'm behind you. I feel anything that you feel, it sucks. It's just terrible. And I'm sorry that it happened. That's all I can say. Let's take a deep breath, collect ourselves, and look ahead to the weekend. Probably the most interesting series. You've got the champs welcoming in Houston. It is an ALCS rematch. And let's remember, in all seven of the games, the road team won. So what's going to be the headline of this series when we return to work on Monday?
I feel like I got a couple headlines here. Guns drawn, shots fired. That's kind of actually, never mind. I was trying to go on like the Texas, like, you know, old school Wild Wild West thing. That was a bad one, actually. Let's just X that one from the radio.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
How about Cuban Missile Crisis? Adolis Garcia and Yordan Alvarez just hitting bombs all over the place. I think this is going to be a very testy series, to be honest with you. You remember the ALCS? And even in July, I believe it was last year, with like Simeon chirping at Maldonado, and then Adolis Garcia chirps. And I know Maldonado's not going to be there, but there's still leftover of that. Plus in the, was it game five of the ALCS? They didn't really, I don't think they threw at Garcia, but he got hit and the bench is cleared. So I think it's going to be testy. I think we really are seeing like the beginnings of like a really cool rivalry, like an in-state Texas rivalry. I think that's what's going to be the headlines. I mean, this game specifics, I have no idea, Chris. I don't know what's going to happen. Besides, my Cuban ball players are going to go off because that's what they do. But I think that's what I'm looking forward to most, is like the continuing of this. Like, I guess it's a new rivalry in our sport, which I think rivalries really can drive our sport forward. I love that the Astros and the Rangers are both competitive at the same time and really like fighting for the same thing, like the division, the pennant, the World Series. Like, they are going at it, and I think they're going to be at each other's throats.
Yeah, I think it's going to be intense for an early season series. I'm looking for two guys to kind of wake up, maybe to set their alarm and get ready to play. One guy on each team that hits at the top of the lineup or near the top of the lineup. Alex Bregman for the Houston Astros, just one RBI so far, just two extra base hits, both doubles. Let's remember last year in the ALCS, he left the yard three times. I think he's going to wake up. And for the Texas Rangers, I predicted that Evan Carter would be kind of the dude this year. And he's done nothing. In fact, he did not even play in their last game of the series against Tampa Bay. They gave him a breather. I would expect them to probably move him down the lineup this weekend. He has one RBI and no extra base hits this year. And this is a guy who made the transition from the minor leagues to the major leagues and then the major league regular season to the playoffs seamlessly. So I think both those guys will do some damage. And on Monday, I'll pat myself on the back when they both do.
Can you give me a headline? I thought that was the question.
Maybe, yeah, I didn't mean the headline. I'm technically a headline.
Ding, ding, ding. Alarm.
From Ofer to Mother Fofer.
Yeah, that's almost as bad as my first one.
Sell many? You don't think that's going to sell much?
No.
That was kind of dog shit. All right, sorry about that. From dog shit to dog food. Why don't we? Because I love the farmer's dog. More and more dog people, more and more vets, they are quitting the kibble. They are kicking the cans. They are feeding their dog food that's actually... well, food. The Farmer's Dog. It is developed with vets. It's made fresh from real meat and veggies. It's portioned for your dog and delivered right to your door. The Farmer's Dog isn't just fresh, higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. All you have to do is go to the website You fill out a quick questionnaire about the size of your dog, how much exercise it's getting, how old it is, what it weighs, the whole bit, and boom, they send it in this awesome box right to your door. It is smart, healthy pet food. You can feel good about feeding your pup. It's the best option for dogs of all life stages, from puppy to super senior. A fresh diet, it will help you clear out your dog. I'm telling you, man, people don't want to talk about dog poops. That shit is important. So when we take Sydney on the walk and she is cleaned out, she is bouncing around, even though she's like 12 or 13. We don't know how old she is. We rescued her, but she's feeling good. So she loves her food. Every time we open the fridge, she is running to it because she's like, give me more of that damn farmer's dog. Like, come on, old man, feed me again. She loves it. So help keep your dog healthy and playing ball with 50% off your first box. It's at thefarmersdog.com/today. Plus, you get free shipping. So just head on over to thefarmersdog.com/today to get 50% off. Your dog at the end of the day is going to say, row, row, row. Oh my God.
You're the most passionate about dog food.
What?
Of any ad reads we do, you're the most passionate about dog food.
Are you kidding me? That's
which plays into your thing. Like, food is excites you.
It's so good, I would think about eating it. That's how good it is. Back to the games we play. You know who's got to share first place with the Rangers in the West? That is the Angels. They have their home opener against Boston, which is off to a running start of its own. Regardless of whether these two teams have staying power this year, Plouffe, what excites you most about these teams? Why don't we do the Angels first? So you go Angels, I'll go Angels. Then you do Red Sox, I'll do Red Sox. Go ahead.
Well, I like how they responded to Wash's meeting after the 0-2 start. He has a meeting. You kind of clowned on him. I said, it's okay to have meetings. In fact, I'd like to have more meetings, to be honest with you. Clearly, yes, you did.
No, it's I okay. didn't. I said it was a little weird to have it the second game, but it didn't bother me.
And what happened? Okay, we get Reed Detmers going out there shoving against the Orioles, which, by the way, like, he gets me excited about this team. That guy's got no-hit stuff every time he hops on the mound. Love that for them. But yeah, the resiliency, the response. I know they went into Miami and people will point to that, but you still got to go win the baseball games. And guess what? When you're in Miami at that nice hotel, sometimes it's hard to get up for the baseball games. You want to stay on the beach. They didn't do that. They respond and have done it. I like that Mike Trout has been going off. I like that Taylor Ward has been going off. I like that Logan Ohapi has been going off. Like, the rest of the offense needs to come up, but I think they got some dogs in the pitching staff. Tyler Alexander had a really nice start. I'm not saying they're going to win the AL West. That's okay. I think this team is going to be – I said it before the season. They're going to be way more competitive than people are going to give them credit for. And Mike Trout's going to lead the way, and he's done that. So I'm kind of – I just love the resiliency. 0-2 can smack you in the face a little bit. I love that Wash just nipped it in the bud, man. That was cool, and it worked.
You mentioned this dude already. Kind of blew past him, but I'm interested to see just how good Logan Ohapi can get. 24 years old, behind the dish. You know, we just think, man, 2023 was a lost season because of that shoulder injury. Do you know that he left the yard 14 times in 51 games? Because I sure as hell didn't.
I didn't.
So if he plays.
No, I didn't.
What?
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's some serious pop for a dude like that. On top of that, he is Nicky Cass's friend. So anybody that's a friend of Nicky Cass is okay in my book. And I figure that Logan Ohapi's in Nicky Cass's phone. Nicky Cass's number is in my phone. So by the transitive property of equality, I should be able to get a hold of Logan Ohapi very quickly. So I think that's kind of cool.
People think I name drop. Nicky Cass name drops with the best one. Oh, I know Christian McCaffrey. I know all these
exactly.
People. Shout out Nicky Cass. I love you.
He knows all the vertically challenged muscular dudes.
He kind of looks like Christian McCaffrey a little bit, and that's a big compliment there, bud.
Wow. That's nice. That's nice. You just called Nicky Cass the best running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nice work.
And his dreams.
All right, what about the Boston Red Sox? What do you got on them?
Well, I mean, I got to eat crow a little bit here and, you know, get my foot out of my mouth. I called their pitching staff, like, not enough, and what's been the best pitching staff in the major leagues at the early part of the season? It's been the Boston Red Sox. So I'm an idiot. Yep. That's okay, people. You can admit when you're wrong. You know, they bring in a new pitching coach, Andrew Bailey. I don't know how much he's had to do with this start to the year. They've got guys, Chris, in that rotation. We said this, that have a chance, that have stuff that can do it. Like full pension Piv, my guy Nick Pivetta, like he's flashed brilliance on the mound before many times, in the playoffs included. So like, you know, he had a nice start. You know, Bayo, I think he had a little blow up start once, but he's, I mean, everyone in the rotation has done well. Everyone in the bullpen has done well. So there was question marks coming in, and I think rightfully so. We got some swing guys, you know, starting in the rotation. We had some guys coming off of like not so good years last year. But to start, they look really good. They're striking guys out and not walking people. So I think that's really nice to see. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're telling everybody, including me, to shove it, man. Like, we got a staff to think that can do it throughout a season. So I'll hand up. I was wrong so far.
Well, you're wrong through 1 week, right? I mean, there's a bunch more still to go. But yeah, I'm going to kind of piggyback off that, because they do have the best ERA in baseball through seven games. And it's interesting. I'm going to call this triumvirate the 28 club. Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, Cutter Crawford are all 28 years old. It feels like they've been around forever. Like, at different times, they've all had some good impact on this team, and then they've all kind of regressed, whether it's been because of performance or they haven't been available because of injuries. Houck has the most starts out of these guys. He's had 42. Crawford's had 37, and Whitlock's had 20. This is going to be your shot, man. Like, they didn't get a ton of help in the offseason. They brought in Lucas Giolito to eat innings, and he's not going to eat one this year, unfortunately. So there is ample opportunity for you guys to establish yourself, not only to help Boston get to places where most of the critics, and the two of us included in that group, do not have you going, but more importantly, to establish who you are as a major leaguer. Like, you're not, it's not cute and you're 24 in it. You are 28 years old. This is the time to go get it. Getting the opportunity, go get it. I like
you're
it.
You're big on the opportunities lately. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, they've combined to give up just one earned in 17 innings, those three guys. 25 strikeouts, one walk. That'll play. That'll play. So here we go. The Mets, they got their first win of the year. Back end of a double dip in which they were getting no hit until the eighth inning against the Detroit Tigers. They came back with two in the ninth, so they get off the schneid. That means there is one winless team. We talked about them, the Miami Marlins. They had a lead in St. Louis. They lost it in the back end of the game. They have fallen to 0-8. It's the worst start in the history of the franchise, and that's only the second worst thing to happen to them on Thursday. Because their 20-year-old phenom, Yuri Perez, is done for the year with Tommy John surgery. He won't be the last, unfortunately, this season. Plouffe, have we just gotten to the point in this sport we just are going to expect it to happen to our favorite young hurlers?
I really hope not, Chris. I know what you're saying. I know it seems that way, that if guys don't get it, they're going to get it eventually. I don't have any like insight on this, to be honest with you. I just hope it doesn't happen. I know we're chasing stuff right now. You had Bassett on the show on the rotation, and he was talking about chasing numbers and chasing velo and chasing spin. And, you know, they've come out and said, like, the more pressure you're putting on your elbow, like, the throwing motion is already unnatural. Everyone knows that. That's not like a natural way to move your arm. And if you continuously build up for velo, I think that eventually, especially when you're throwing off-speed stuff as well as hard as you can, like eventually, like your arm's going to break down. I don't know how to fix it. I have no freaking clue. We've got guys saying they're working out and practicing throwing hard, so that's going to help them have longevity doing it. I don't know if that's the case. We've tried guys being on throwing limits, innings limits, and that hasn't worked either. So I really don't know what the answer is. Is it as simple as like a more tacky ball so you don't have to grip it as hard? Like, does that make a difference? I don't have an answer, Chris. I'm just praying. Like, think like that surgery is, it's brutal, man. You're talking about a freaking year and a half from like rehabbing, not being able to do what you love to do. And I know people are like, oh, they're making all this money, all this. The rehab is a lonely, dark place to be. I've been on the IL many times. So one thing that got me out of like my optimistic attitude, I was the worst person to be on the IL. I just mentally, that's the thing that got me down more than anything ever has in my life. So I just pray that this something happens, that we figure something out where we're not seeing all these young guys getting TJ. And it's not just happening at the big level, man. It's happening at the youth level a lot. My brother went through it in college. Like, we don't even hear about all of those stories. So I don't know what the answer, Chris, is. I hope somebody way smarter than me figures it out.
The first of all, I hope Yuri Perez comes back at the age of 22 and we see him and he's awesome. I remember talking to Skip Schumacher last year. They had just brought him up. And he's like, you know, he's really not ready, but he kind of pushed his way up here. And we don't know, but man, he's special. And that's what really pains me, is that you hear guys talking about how he has a chance to be special and now he's got to overcome something. A lot of guys do it. It feels like half of the pitchers on every staff, starters and relievers, they all have that zipper, and it is tough. It's tough to stomach. And unfortunately, even though I don't know as much about this as I probably should, covering the game as long as I have, I don't think there's any turning back now. I don't know if there's going to be any reversal of the stuff chasing that and going in the lab and adding velo. Because for God's sakes, our youngest kid is about to graduate. He's got a couple more weeks left of high school baseball. He's already had two friends that have had Tommy John surgery. Already. It's a lost cause, folks. Like, I think we do just have to accept it, that your favorite pitcher at some point is going to come down with this. And it's almost like here's the sick thing. You try and figure out, okay, do you want to sign him? Do you want to give him an extension, a Spencer Strider type extension early in his career, knowing that at some point he might blow out during those 6 years that he has a deal? Like, that's how I think as a fan, and that is a horrible way to do it. But I have to imagine I'm not alone, Plouf.
Do we have percentages somewhere of like major league starting pitchers that have had TJ?
So I did try and look it up before this show, and I couldn't find anything definitive within the last 2 to 3 years. It's real possible I was looking at the wrong areas, and if people want to drop it in and a link to an article, it would be greatly appreciated. But it's demoralizing.
Are the Tommy John surgeons just balling out right now? Are they just like living the freaking life?
Yeah, I mean, they have to be. I mean, look. The doctor who's going to do Perez's surgery, the Rangers physician, is the one who was quoted in the Athletic article saying, you know, we have done a great disservice to these people. So while he might have a great second or third home that I'm sure you and Stafford and Clausen are going to be Airbnb-ing at some point in the near future, I don't think he's happy about it. Well, hey, I've seen some of the cribs you've gone to lately. Don't you dare tell me.
Oh, my gosh. I live a blessed life, Chris. I live a blessed life.
The one where you were in the snow?
That's my friend Robbie's house.
I know, but it's that type of house. I'm just saying. I know he's
got a nice house, bro.
That's a hell of a house. All right. Before we get out of here, we got to get to a weird story that, you know, we kind of had a little fun with Dodger fans. We weren't picking on you with the way you reacted to Shohei's first home run. We were just having some fun, okay? This story.
Can I say something real quick before you start this?
Yes.
I messed this up. Dan, stop the video.
What?
We always have fans saying, oh, you're picking on us. Move on. The Angels fans got all over us for talking about Mike Trout and you know, do you think he wants to leave? We didn't really even – that wasn't even the context of the conversation necessarily.
No.
But, like, every franchise has something like that. I played for the Twins. What do you think we heard all the time? You guys can't even win a playoff game. You can't beat the Yankees. Right. Yankees are your daddy. It's like everybody has that. So, like, if it gets referenced every once in a while, like, come on, guys. Like, stop giving us so much crap. We love your teams. We love all the teams. But there are things we got to talk about.
Yeah. And listen, you know, and for people who keep saying, well, you're just doing it for click, 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 click. Listen, dude, there are 25 questions we come up with per week. Not all of them are going to be sunshine and roses. It's just not. So you have to understand. But I also understand fans are fans, and that's okay. You get a little defensive about your team. That's cool. It's okay. But don't sit there and call us motherfuckers and assholes just because we have an opinion about it. If you don't like it, fine. Come back with something educational and say, hey, you guys are missing your point. Fine, fine, fine. Good. Go for that. You want to resort to name calling? I think it's a stupid way to go through life. Moron. I'm kidding. It's a joke. See, the name calling. Okay. You didn't care. All right, now we can roll the tape on this, Dan. This is a really crazy story. Sam Blum of The Athletic says that the couple that caught the ball was actually caught by Amber Roman and her husband, Alexis Valenzuela. She was pressured into giving the ball back after receiving a low ball offer from the Dodgers security. Apparently, she was whisked away. The husband was not allowed to be a part of the negotiations. So they were like, do this, do that, do this. They said that the Dodgers security threatened her by saying, we are not going to authenticate this ball. So you leave, nobody will ever be able to tell that this was Shohei's first home run as a Dodger. Now, there was at least one auction house that estimated the ball to be worth $100,000. Now, Roman and Valenzuela wanted to make the point that they said, we were just looking for something fair. She eventually got two autographed hats, a ball, and a bat. And maybe they were looking for something else. They said, we weren't looking to get rich out of this. They wanted to meet Shohei. They did not meet Shohei. Now, there was something that Shohei said, either he did meet them or somebody from the team met them. There was very varying reports on exactly what he said about it. The whole point here is, it sounds like something went terribly wrong and something that should have been an enjoyable part of Dodgers history. Shohei's first ever home run in Dodger blue went horribly off track for two fans who love the team, who probably wanted something in return, not anything huge, but it sounded like it was handled poorly. I hope they get to the bottom of this to clean it up if there was something that went errant.
This is the easiest PR fix in the history of the world, Chris. Okay.
Yes.
You got these people who are lifelong Dodger fans. Okay. It's a man and it's a woman. This is perfect. Okay. Go make this right, Dodgers. How easy is it to set them up with a beautiful season ticket package?
Whoa.
Bring them on the field to meet Shohei Ohtani before a game. Like, this is the easiest fix ever. Do you want this stink on your prestigious franchise right now? You don't. You got some other stuff going on in the background, right?
Right.
Make the focus, we got this right. Hey, I don't like that they said the security guard separated husband from wife. That would have pissed me off big time, right? So, yeah, they got a hat, they got a sign ball, all this stuff, whatever it was. Make this right, Dodgers. It is so, so simple. Like I said, this is what I'm calling for. I'm going to call them out. I want a season ticket package.
Whoa.
Just for this year. It doesn't have to be for multiple years. Season ticket package. Yes. 100%. How easy is it for them to do that? It's very easy. Okay. And then I want a meet and greet on the field, batting practice, field passes. Shohei comes out, says hi. That can be behind closed doors. If it didn't already happen, make that happen. Yep. Put him on the field for BP. It's so simple.
Yeah.
So Dodgers do that. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know who to finger point at and all that sort of stuff, but you're right.
You need to.
It can be made right. And most importantly, somebody can probably learn if it did go off the tracks here. And once again, we don't know. This is a report. This is a Sam Blum report. We only have the husband and wife's side of this. The Dodgers didn't comment. Security said there could be ongoing negotiations. So there's a lot of moving parts here. We're not saying this, that, the other thing. But you're right. At the end of the day, the Dodgers do have this in their court, and they could handle it. And
oh, my gosh.
Everybody can be happy. That's all. We want to make people happy here. That's it. That's it. We don't want to go, oh, you guys are just... No. We're trying to make people happy at the end of the week. That's all.
What else should I get these people? Some free food from that awesome Asian place that they opened up behind home plate? Because I ate it, and it was good.
It was good?
Yeah, I got a Korean short rib bowl with some kimchi and some rice. Oh, baby.
That is nice. I like that. All right, everybody, enjoy your baseball weekend. It's going to be great. We're a week away from our live show. Go get tickets, shop.johnboymedia.com. Boomtown Brewery in Los Angeles. Can't wait to see you there and cannot wait to see you on Monday for our next show as well. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Monday on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.